What do you prefer to have in your hand today? The palm, the 30 pieces of silver, the Eucharistic bread which was celebrated on this night in this gospel and which we will receive here, a pillow for sleep, the defending sword, the helpful touch of the cross like that of Simon of Cyrene, the nails and the hammer, the useless sponge of belated comfort, or the belated dignity of a tomb offered. What do you prefer to have on your lips? The hosannas of praise, the question, is it I, Lord? The kiss that betrays, the question of Jesus' validity, the confidence of Peter, which is followed by a quiet denial, the call to crucify, or Pilate after he has slyly washed his hands, assuming no responsibility for his own deeds. The words of mockery, he trusted in God, let him deliver him. Or the centurion's final words of belief, truly this man was the Son of God. We touch and taste all the aspects of the journey to the cross this day. Many of you will return for the Easter Triduum, that is, the services of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and the Great Easter Vigil, a time to grow more intimate with the cost of Christ Jesus' passion and its benefits for our lives. Many may not, and so today is the time that you have for the fingering of the cross and the cost of God in Christ to love us in fullness and wholeness. Today, while we enter with psalms and hosannas, we now sit beneath the shadow of the cross, for that is the movement of the liturgy of Palm Sunday. We now are in Good Friday. Here is a dual reality presented, and it must be seen from above, from where God is at work, and from beneath, where we live and dwell. It must be seen that it is here that is woven again into our hearts the deep love of God for us. And yet we struggle daily with that sense of loving ourselves too much or too little, or loving those who are our neighbors in like fashion. We all taste what it is to know to know our way and then to lose our way on life's journey, which is about care and about love. We are blessed if we know what it is to call out Hosanna, as if we have found God's love treasured and built within ourselves. We also know what it is to find that we have betrayed love, be that of a family member or a friend or something that we've betrayed within ourselves. To have lost our way sometime and to have done what is not health in us, as the prayer book says. We know what it is to wonder if God does or does not hold out to us a deeper hope, a plan, an intention for us as we move ahead in this gift that we call life. As we sit under Jesus' passion, we might contemplate, did Jesus wonder about this hope, this plan, this intention of God? Did he know fully what was at hand, or did he follow a loyal path that simply brought him to the cross? Did Judas have a hope, a plan, or intention as he handled the 30 pieces of silver which he could not give back? And what of Peter? As he heard the denials of Christ vibrate inside himself as the cock crowed? And what of the nameless centurion, who appears to have suddenly seen and believed that God was deeply at work in this time, in this life? And what about us and what we believe? The simple truth of this day is that it costs God something dear to love us. It costs the Son. What we believe was God's supreme reaching to us to show us the road of love. It costs the determination to continually reach back to us, even as time progresses. It's not enough for you or for me just to know this, that the cross is a costly place where hangs Jesus. Each of us will in some deep way find a cross and find it in our lives. When some love betrays, when we drop some good that we might have done to take up something that is less than, and then return and try to find a better way for our life. While Christ could laugh and hold children and sit and listen and speak deeply, enjoy companionship, love life even as we do, Christ also knew a bitter way. Born in humility in a cold stable because there was a lack of room for those who were poor. His way passed through tremendous times of need, through suffering, denial, betrayal, and finally, complete devastation upon the cross. How much did he comprehend? And how much do we comprehend? When we come to Good Friday and we read John's Passion, we will find there a Christ who is comprehending much. Christ died on the cross for a reason, to break the curse of evil and indifference and vanquish it from our lives. Once and for all, as an insidious principle of human life, evil and indifference is to be put away. And he reclaims there that love is what claims the core of our life and is our principle. If you do not believe in the power of evil, you cannot fully grasp the significance of this act. Evil is very like the power of indifference on the one hand, and on the other, it is deeper and darker. Until we grasp that the core reason for Jesus coming was to break the curse of evil in our flesh, and there to stand true in our place with God, we might not see all that there is to be known here. And thus, this moment in his life upon the cross dispels darkness, and we will never fully understand our need of the cross if we cannot see that. It is here that we can find deep forgiveness for sin and nowhere else. From the cross, we can learn the way to follow, to go into a place where we are willing to lose the self, only to find the self as we give ourselves to the care of others as a way of life, a way not of losing life, but of finding what is the core of life. We like the notion, usually, that surely God could have reached us by a much easier and less devastating way. And yet there is nothing in our history that indicates that God could. We have a tremendous capacity not to listen, not to hear, and thus not to change and become more loving and more real. We also have the opposite capacity to listen, to follow, to hear, and to be changed. Which will you choose at each intersection of your life, and which will I choose at the intersections of my life? What will you do when you look back over your shoulder and realize where you have chosen well and where you have chosen poorly? Will you look upon the cross? Will you and I remember that God is both 100% love and 100% justice, seeking to understand each other? Will you and I look at the death of the Son of God by human evil, as evil a deed as has ever been done, and see that God responded by forgiving not just those who did it, but the whole of the human race, which cannot fully stop the evil that travels into our hearts. Whoever understands this needs to understand that to wrestle down evil is not to obliterate it, but it is to love more than it. It is to love past evil. It sees its most horrible consequences and says, even then, I forgive. And that is where Good Friday and Easter kiss. When elsewhere in the gospel, Jesus asks us to take up our cross and follow him, it is not an invitation to a burdened life, but a life that is willing to join him as a forgiving life of great kindness and forgiving what is unkind in life. It's an invitation to love more and past our hurts and wounds and even our sins. The real power of Jesus is not his sweetness, his gentleness, or his wisdom. It is the sharpness of mind and his justice wrapped in his being, a sharpness that will judge us and will prune us if we will yield to it, and purify even where we resist the touch of his gospel. His love is not soft, but demands rather that we see ourselves and open ourselves and allow ourselves to be changed into his likeness. Here is God weaving into our being this great core value of love and care. And thus we give ourselves to prayer, to see the consequences of our action, seeking to see what is good and what is right, and confessing what misses the mark, accepting his love and reconciliation and ever new beginning. But that is why we come to the altar and open our hands to receive the bread and sip of the cup, that his love may wash through us. We become one with him and his cross when and where we are willing to look at our lives, our gifts, our hopes, and use them to bring fruit that is good into the world, sometimes kind, often just, and always forgiving. We become one with it when our petty unkindnesses are foregone to achieve a greater good in another's life or even in our own. We become one with it when life is challenged or is lived in a hurting place and we choose to rely on the hard work of love over self-pity. Above all, we become one with it when, somewhat like Jesus, we determine to look beyond self and see others' needs, and use ourselves so others may taste something of God's love, which can be gentle and also can demand the best of us as we embrace it and do it. There are some things only God can fully comprehend. Perhaps the greatest of them is the necessity of the cross to fully be understood and to understand. Today, it is enough just to yield our hearts to it, to look upon the crucified one yet again and to receive forgiveness in our lives' needs, and to know that in God's mystery, self-offering comes before growth or rising to a life that is worthy of God and receiving it as God's deepest gift. Such is how the cross yields its way to Easter and becomes for his resurrection, if we will but yield to this good and this love, it will rise within. Amen.